Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. And look at verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. That's enough. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that you have shown us that there is more to life and your creation than the things that we see with the eyes that thou hast made for us. We have spoken in your words about the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding. Our Father, thou hast given us spiritual eyes as well as physical eyes, and thou hast shown us the universe that thou hast made that we can see with our physical eyes, but you've also told us about another dimension, the one in which you live, the one where angels are, the one where your Son was eternally with thee from the beginning. We are thankful for the vastness of this existence that is ours, and we would desire to extend it, our Father, to be able to see and understand all things that pertain to it, so that we may be intelligent creatures and that we may enjoy life to the full. Our Father, we have read some words spoken by your disciple and your Son, and our desire is to learn that particular lesson that was prayed about by this disciple. Lord, teach us to pray. We desire that what occurred in the heart of this man shall find a place in our hearts, and that we shall be compelled to cry out unashamedly, Lord, teach me to pray. And this can only be accomplished as thy Spirit works in the hearts of those who are here and empowers the lips of him who speaks. But this is what we desire to be accomplished, and we know that it is your will. So help us to this end, we pray. We thank you for everything you've done for us this past week, and for what you've begun to do for us at the beginning of this week. And our Father, we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There is no man who could look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and listen to the words that he spoke without being affected in a positive way, like the one I read you about in Luke chapter 11, because our Savior had said nothing to man. He had been speaking to his Father, and this disciple reverently waited until he finished. And when he finished, he said, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John also taught his disciples to pray. Now, think of this, that a man in his life is so moved by the example of the Lord Jesus Christ that he comes to him and says, I want to learn how to pray. When has the Word of God, when has finding Christ in the Scriptures so touched your heart that you cried out, I want to be like you, Lord Jesus. In this instance, in one area, in prayer. As you look at his life more and more, you'll say, Lord Jesus, I want to be like you when you preached. And also, Lord Jesus, I want to be the way you were when you spoke to men, the way that you dealt with individuals. If you examine the Word of God, and if you are close to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is impossible that you can remain the same. Listen to what Paul says. He says, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Lord the Spirit. Do you see what happens when you look at the Lord Jesus in the Word of God? I say in the Word of God because we are not on earth as this disciple was and the other disciples to watch the Lord Jesus. But what God has done is to have written for us that we may see Jesus in the Word. And God has given us eyes of our heart that we may see Jesus in heaven. Because it says, whom having not seen we love, in whom though now we see him not, yet believing we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it says in Hebrews that we see Jesus. And Jesus was in heaven then. So it was not an earthly vision of Jesus, but it was men on earth looking into heaven with the eyes of their heart, seeing Jesus. And the Bible says, consider him. And that is the way your life will change. And in this instance, it was our Savior's prayer life that so impressed this disciple that he came to Jesus by himself. But his prayer, his petition to the Lord Jesus, was either something requested of him by the others, or something that he understood because he was so intimate with the others, because one disciple came, and he did not say, teach me to pray, but he said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, this can mean several things. I recall on one occasion when some Greeks wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ, Philip was thinking about it, and he went and spoke to Nathanael about it, and then together they came and said, there are some Greeks that want to see you. Now, in like manner, and I hope that this was the case, that not only this one disciple was watching and listening to our Savior as he prayed, but all the disciples were doing the same. And having looked at Jesus, they looked at one another and confessed, we know nothing about prayer. Which of us is going to ask Jesus to teach us to pray? Who's going to be so bold? Because many times in a study class, there are many who do not know the answer and who want to ask the question. And finally, someone will be bold enough to ask that question, and then the others will smile and nod their head, saying, that's what we wanted answered. So it could be that, just as in the case of Philip discussing it with Nathanael, so in like manner, this disciple had discussed it with the other disciples and had been requested, go and ask the Lord to teach us to pray. Or it could have been this way. The Bible says, faith answereth to faith. And I've been coming down here long enough to know whether you can pray, to know whether you can preach. I know something about your spiritual caliber. And therefore, when this man went and said, Lord, teach us to pray, and the others were indignant and say, speak for yourself, he would say, I know you through and through, and you do not know anything about praying any more than I do. I'm going to ask him to teach us all. Now, that might be true, and that would be a good thing. And if there is honesty in your heart, and someone says, Lord, Teach us to pray. Lord, we want to be more like you. Then I'm not going to criticize that man and say, I know how to pray. I'm already enough like the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to congratulate him and say, I'm so happy that you went and made that request of our Lord. But remember this, that what brought it about was not any conversation that Christ was giving to his disciples about prayer, but it was his example of prayer. As Christ was praying, the disciples reached this conviction that all our lifetime we've been speaking words, but we know nothing about prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. They knew the right one to whom to go. Because there are some who are here in this assembly that if you had deep questions, problems in your life, you would never go to them. Why? Because you say they have more problems in their lives than I do in mine. And there may be some devoted Christian here, but he is not a student of the Word of God. But then there may be one who knows the Word and has a tender heart, and when a problem arises in your life, you will say, that's the one to whom I shall go. And so in like manner, they see the Lord Jesus, and they understand the shortcoming in their life, and they say, we will go and speak to Jesus about it, because he can supply the remedy. And thank God, he did. Remember this verse of Scripture. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Are you ashamed to go into the presence of God and say, Lord, teach me to pray? We're rebuked in Hebrews chapter 5. It speaks about some Christians who, by reason of time, they ought to be teachers. They have retrogressed, gone so far backward that they need to be taught the ABCs of Christianity all over again. And it may be that some of us are in that same condition. It may be that at one time we were close to the Lord and we did pray. And we stopped praying. And we need to go and have our souls revived by having Christ speak to us personally about prayer. And what is so beautiful about this is that our Savior had already taught them to pray in Matthew 6. But now they come and say, teach us to pray. But it may be this way. You remember when Christ rose from the dead, at first Thomas was not with them. And the Lord came and showed himself to them, but Thomas wasn't there. And therefore Thomas needed a personal appearance of Christ before he would believe. But thank God when that appearance came, he said, my Lord and my God. And so it may be that this disciple, it does not say he was one of the 12 apostles, but it's like this. On occasion, the Lord Jesus sent two of his disciples on an errand. And it may have been that when he was teaching on prayer, they were not present. This man was not present. Or it may have been this, that he had heard the Lord Jesus teach about prayer, and now he is seeing the Lord Jesus praying and hearing him pray, and he says, Lord, I want to know more. Lord, teach us to pray. It could have been any of those things. But whatever the reason, whether the man was absent when he should have been there, or whether he was present and he had forgotten, whatever the reason, as it says in James 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given you. And so the Lord Jesus did not say, I told you once, and once is enough. At times the Lord was very severe with his disciples because they forgot. They should have known things. They did not know things. But in this instance, without any reproach, the Lord Jesus teaches them again. What he does in Luke 11 is almost identical to what he did in Matthew chapter 6, which means this, that if you're going to be taught to pray, there are certain fundamentals, and they are never altered. Now, in Luke 11, this is what we can be taught, that he does not teach us precisely the words to say, but he gives us the pattern of sound doctrine. And when he reviews what he told them once in Matthew 6 in full, he simply gives them the leading thoughts again in Luke chapter 11. And had they been there before, they would have said, "Why, yes, Lord, this is what you taught us in that Sermon on the Mount." And the Savior would say, "Yes, and I have nothing new to tell you. Remember what I told you? Then I'm telling you again. This is the way to pray." But now I'm going to give you an opportunity. Some brothers, the sisters can, but is there any brother who can, word perfect, give me the Lord's Prayer as found in Matthew 6? Is there anybody who can give it word perfect? If so, I have a reward for you. Any brother that's bold? So you don't know the Lord's Prayer. I see. Well, listen, and I will give it to you, perhaps, letter perfect. Because when I've been in congregations and I've been at other secular meetings, they'll say, "We'll all now rise and speak the Lord's Prayer." And I've never heard them pray the Lord's Prayer, either it is found in Luke 11 or in Matthew 6. But this is what our Lord said. This is the full prayer, and I'd better get it right. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." Now, is that right? Exactly right. It came out right this time. But usually, they change it around. But it's not necessary to say it exactly that way. Because you read in Luke 11, and the words are similar, but they are not identical. So what our Savior would have us to understand is this, that there is a pattern, there is an outline to prayer that never changes. There is an attitude when we approach God, and it is one of reverence, and it is one of exaltation to the God to whom we pray. But now, someone asked this question once. When you read the Bible, can you ever think of a prayer being uttered without praying in the name of the Lord Jesus? And the person said, "Why, yes, the Lord's Prayer. Did you hear Jesus say, 'Ask it in my name'?" No, because this is at the beginning of his ministry. But when you're in that upper room discourse in the Gospel of John, we understand that properly this is prayer. You pray to the Father in the power of the Spirit and request it in the name of the Son. On occasion, it's perfectly in order, as Paul did in 2 Corinthians 12, to pray to the Lord Jesus, "I prayed to the Lord 3 times to remove this thorn in the flesh, but he had said," you understand? Yes, you may pray to the Lord Jesus. We have examples of this in the Scripture. Much rarer, if you can produce one, praying to the Holy Spirit. So the order is this. We pray our Father, and we pray in the Spirit, Jude tells us, and then our Savior tells us that we pray in the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus. In the Old Testament, they prayed for thy name's sake, because the Lord Jesus had not yet come. But now, the only authority that we have for requesting the good things of God is in the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Are you going to God and say, "Now I want you to do these things for me because of my inherent goodness"? What would God give you? Nothing. And at the same time, would you pray, "Oh God, give us these things because we deserve them"? No, you would not get them. But if you go into the presence of God and request these things and ask them in the name of the Lord Jesus who taught us to pray, then that is as solid a basis as a man can ever have to expect something to come from God. So our Lord is teaching them to pray. Here is what I find. That when they made this request prayer, the Lord did not say, "All right, I'll teach you some today, and I will set up specific hours when the subject of prayer shall be dealt with." He never did it that way. How he would do it is this. He would give them briefly the pattern of prayer, and then he would wait until experiences arose conducive to prayer, conducive to teaching about prayer, and then he could teach them to pray. Now, you need to be taught to pray, but I promise you this, that you can pray, you sisters, you brothers, can pray as well as any man or any woman under these conditions. Tell me if you can surpass the prayer of Peter when he was trying to walk on the water and he was drowning. He said, "Lord, save me." Can you beat that prayer? Suppose he said, "I must offer this prayer eloquently to the Lord." And he said, "Our Father, which art in..." Where would he have been? He would say he would be at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. Of course he would. Do you not understand that there are times when an emergency arises and all you can say is, "Lord, save me." It could not have been any shorter because the Lord Jesus was the one alone who could save him. And what he needed was preservation from drowning, and the person that needed it was himself. And so he said, "Lord, save me." Now, did Peter need to be taught to pray that prayer? You say, "No, why?" The experience taught him to pray. And so you beware. If you say, "Lord, teach us to pray," then he is liable to teach you to pray in a way that you are unexpected and unaware of. And when you get through, the Lord Jesus could say to Peter, "You prayed an excellent prayer, and I answered it." He reached forth his hand and saved him from the waters. Now, let me ask you this. You dear fathers and mothers who have a child, suppose you have a little child, 12 years old, and that child is at the point of death, and you have to go to the Lord Jesus. Do you think that you'll be able to pray fervently and from the heart under those conditions? You say yes. Of course. You do not have to be taught to pray. Experience teaches you to pray. And Jairus came and he spoke to our Savior reverently. He said, "My little daughter is even now at the point of death. Come down and heal her." You see the beauty of that prayer? Is there any eloquence? Is there anything unnecessary? You say no. The man knew that Jesus was the one who could save his daughter, and he wanted as briefly as possible to tell him about that daughter, and he humbly and reverently requested that the Savior would come. Do you see? This is what is so important, that in the experiences of life, the very need itself causes us to pray. I told you about Peter that was drowning. He was an individual, but in like manner, he was in a boat when the storm arose on the Sea of Galilee, and they came and they said, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." Do you see how they knew to pray? And so this is the way the Lord is liable to teach you to pray. You say, "Well, I never can be serious. I never have boldness to approach the Lord." If your daughter were dying, if you were dying, you would have boldness to do it. But now, however the case may be, our Savior says this in Hebrews. It says, "We may come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The Lord Jesus says this in Revelation 3. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." He would put all of us at ease. And you say, but I cannot pray as I ought. Notice, when he opens the door, if you open the door, he says, I will come in and I will sup with you and you with me. If he sups with you in your house, he is willing to eat what you set before him on the table. Suppose he said, I will come in, but I'm not going to eat unless it's my favorite dish. Our Savior is never that way. Our Savior is quite prepared to have us pray in stammering tones with the feeblest of words if it comes from the heart, because we are learning to pray. And our brother will appreciate this. That little child, not able to talk, could only stammer some words, but she was given a little piece of ham, and she picked it up and put it in her mouth, and she said, thank you. And that grandfather was thrilled that his little granddaughter uttered those words. You say, well, what's so thrilling about it? Well, all of you who have grandchildren, you understand about that. You see bumper stickers on cars. Ask me about my grandchildren. And here is a little child that without eloquence has received something that pleased her, and she said, thank you. And so this is what our Savior wants you to understand. For you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but so to think soberly, according as God has given to each man a measure of faith. And if you wish, you may go into God's presence with this attitude of heart, because listen to how our Savior teaches about the right attitude of heart. He said there was a man who was a publican, and he went into the temple to pray, and he would not lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, his prayer was heard, and he went home justified. You see, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, it says Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven, lifted them up, and looked into the face of God. And that's what we can do now. But some of you are lost. You're sinners out there. You've never been saved. You are not to go into God's presence and say, here I am, and now I desire this day that you save me. You go into the presence of God. Notice, it's not Father, but it's God. And you lower your head because you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And you smite upon your breast because of the intensity of feeling. And you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that prayer is as beautiful a prayer as enters the ear of God for the first time from a man who is lost. Do you remember? The Lord Jesus said, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over the 99. So if you are unsaved, you can pray acceptably to God. The Lord Jesus has told you how to approach God humbly, reverently, without pride, because you'll be abased if you go with pride, but you go humbly, and you speak those words. God, that's what he is. He's your God. Be merciful, that's what you need, to me, and you confess what you are, the sinner. And he forgives you your sins. What could be simpler? And in like manner, you come to the Lord Jesus, and you say, Lord, teach us to pray. And the Lord says, this is the way that you are to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, I told you that our Savior, when he was telling them about prayer, he gave them lesson one, our Father, which art in heaven. But after that, he taught them by the experiences they had, and he also taught them by the example of his own life. This is what it says in Timothy. The Apostle Paul speaks to this man upon whose shoulders so much responsibility has fallen. He says, be thou an example of the believers in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, in purity. It says, be thou an example. And that is one of the loveliest things, when our Savior is an example. And then our Savior says, now you be an example. Well, let me ask you this. Are you an example for those here in Pembroke to look at and ask the question, teach me to pray. There are some who are examples, and I thank God. There are some, and I know this brother, he's with the Lord now. I never heard him get up and preach, but I've been with him alone, and I've heard him pray, and he was unexcelled. Remarkable. He was not able to preach, but he could pray to God. And therefore, with joy, I, with this brother, would kneel and speak to our Father, who is in heaven. And at the same time, I told you to look at the Lord Jesus and watch him and listen to him as he prayed and see what it did to your heart. And I've never forgotten this. There was a time when I did not speak by myself, but I was learning to preach, and the older brethren would take you along and would let you get up first and fumble and say a few words for 10 or 15 minutes. You thought you had a message of the last 40 minutes. You needed more time. And you would get up and exhaust everything that you knew. And you would look at the clock and 10 minutes would be gone. But then the old brother would get up and would straighten out everything that you had said wrong. And then he would fill in the rest of the time. Well, I was with a dear brother that helped me learn to preach. And we were in a different part of town, may have been a different city, but that afternoon, after lunch, we went to different rooms, and I was in one room, and he was in the next room, and the beds were right next to the wall, and I heard these words being spoken, and then I confess this, however shameless you may think I am, there was a little crack in the wall between us, and I looked through that crack, and I saw this dear older brother on his knees praying, and then I heard my name mentioned in the ear of God, praying for my blessing and my ability to preach that night. Now, do you think I was moved? I never forgot it. The only thing was this, Lord, I can't disappoint. Tonight, the man has been praying for me. And that has been what is upon my heart my whole life long. Do you realize that you invite me down once a year? And my responsibility is to feed the lambs and sheep. And I cry to God, and I hope you and other older ones are saying, Lord, help this man not to give us a hand that is empty, but to feed us with the finest of the wheat. That is a solemn responsibility upon me. And I pray every year that God may enable me to do that. First of all, that I have health enough to come down here, and when I do, that I have unction from God on high to feed lambs and sheep. And so here is what our Savior allowed. And think of this. Our Savior allowed his disciples to watch him when he prayed and to listen to him when he prayed. You have never seen me pray in private, unless you were in the room next to me and you peeped through that crack and saw me praying. But the Lord Jesus purposely would allow his disciples to be near him. I never read where he said, now we're all going to join in a prayer meeting, or I'll pray first and then you pray after me, or I will close. But what would happen is that the Lord Jesus would take them with him as in the garden, and he would say, you stay here. I'm going to go and pray there. You pray here, I will pray there. He prayed in their presence, but I never heard him say, let's all get together and pray. Although there was this oneness with them, there was that separation, that difference. Even though he could say, go and tell them I ascend unto my God, my Father, but it's my Father and your Father, my God and your God, the same God and Father. But the Lord Jesus, so different from our God and Father. We were born again. The Lord Jesus is the eternal Son. And so our Savior is approached and asked this question, Lord, teach us to pray. And our Lord said, I will teach you this day, and I will teach you for the rest of your life. Let it be your heart's desire, your prayer to the Savior. Lord, teach me to pray. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for this one who came from heaven. We remember what he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." We thank you, our Father, that thy Son is approachable, and we are thankful that when we go, all that we need is to be found in him, and he can teach us to pray. He can tell us the words, and he can show us how to pray, and he can give us the incentive to pray. So, our Father, let us see Jesus, and by seeing him, Lord, teach us to pray. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.